de Vigier, upon our heads. He knows what we are in need of tonight. The Bible says that you ask, you shall receive. You don't receive because you don't ask. But ask that your joy may be full. Just remember that God wants to bless us. Wants to pour His Holy Spirit out measure. Just waiting for His church to get in that condition. Hallelujah. Father, we bow our hearts in your presence tonight. We are so thankful, dear God, to come into your house. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What a blessed opportunity it is, Lord, to come bringing a sacrifice of praise into your house this evening. Offer it up with joyful lips unto you. The fruit of our lips, give praise and thanks unto you. Continually offer these sacrifices. Lord, is a royal priesthood. Whom you've called out of darkness to walk in this marvelous light. That we might show forth your praises, Lord. And I pray tonight that all praise will come unto you. Your great divine presence will come down, Lord. Oh, God, and you just spread out over this audience. Lord, that is gathered here under the sound of this voice tonight. Whether they're in the building or downstairs or outside, dear God. Take us up, Lord, into that heavenly place, Father. In that secret place of the Most High, where we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty, where we can be settled under your presence, Lord, where that voice can speak to us, Lord, make it plain to us your divine will tonight. Lord God, we realize there is such an opportunity for us as we see that they're approaching to come and gather together like this, knowing that it's profitable for us, Lord, your words on how we ought to redeem the time. And be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Holy, thank you that you have opened these seven seals and you have revealed to us your will in these last days, dear God. Hallelujah! That we might see Jesus and His program, that we might know how to walk, that we might be led by the Holy Spirit in the fulfilling of your word. Gracious God, speak to us tonight out of the scriptures. Speak to us out of this message, Lord. Bring back the things to our remembrance that we have need. Off in this hour. Show us things to come, Lord. Teach us all things that we might be, Lord, perfected in our faith, that we might be placed positionally where we ought to be in this hour, that you, dear God, might be able to have the preeminences in your church, that you might fulfill all you have spoken for this hour. You might show forth your great victory and the reason of your death, Father. And Lord God, we love to praise you and thank you, for we can expect to receive these things. For we ask you to believe in the almighty and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us turn our Bibles tonight to the book of St. Matthew, chapter 13. I want to welcome you all in the house of the Lord for service. May the Lord richly bless you and make you comfortable and just have you settled. We come to study a little bit tonight in the world, and these type of meetings is not on the evangelical line, it's more on the prophetic line, and we certainly will have to be in the spirit like John was. John Tower was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And if he had to be in the spirit just to see the symbol form, how much more we'll have to be in the spirit in reality form. Amen. So Matthew chapter 13. And I'm going to pick some places because it will be pretty long to read all eight parables. So I know that you'll be acquainted with two of them especially, which is the sower and the seed, where it fell into different types of soil, and then the wheat and tares. So forgive me if I don't read it tonight, but I'll refer to it. But I just want to save a little time because I know it's going to be quite lengthy, because to read all is going to be 52 verses, and it'll take quite some time. So I just pick the places I want, and I want to start in verse 10. He had just finished speaking the first parable. These are called the mysteries of the kingdom. And you have a scope of the Bible, you see right in your head in there, it says the period between the kings to advent. So from verse 1 to 9, he told the first parable, and then from verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, But to them, it is not given. See, that's why when the seven seals have been opened, the prophet said, I'm going to call you bride, not church. Give it to you, not to them in the world. Amen. Just because I call you friends because I've told you everything that I've told my father. So here he says, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That's breakthrough. Shall I hide from Abraham? That is what I'm about to do. See, fellowship is always associated with the revelation of God's will. When God brings you into privacy to reveal himself to you in a more intimate way, things you don't show the world, consider yourself privileged. But there's a responsibility that goes with it, because to him that knoweth and doeth not shall be in many stripes. So think of this. It's a wonderful thing to have the revelation, but then it's a responsibility as well. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even what he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see and see not, and hear and they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed rough, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and shall understand with their heart, and shall be converted, and I should heal them. And how many know that has repeated again the last days? That has exactly repeated, because Israel have been blinded if they come to us, and the Gentiles is blinded if they go back to Israel. Amen. So we're right in that time, just exactly. They've been blinded here, prophesied be blind. So watch this. If you understand it there, you understand it here. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's what he's talking about, the beat you love, or no computer working, no block, and all this kind of 666 and toothpaste and all kind of different things like that. You know better than that. Them, they don't know. Amen. For verily I say unto you, now get this part, you know. First you tell him, it's given to you to know it. But then now he's elaborating on the privilege extended to them. He says, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. How men probe in the reformer age, while the book was sealed, trying to figure out what was in the book of Revelation. But it had to wait until the song of the seventh angel, then it shall be made known. So the probe and the probe, that's why we have over 900 denominations today, because man tried to probe and prove that lady. They saw one or two things, but they only knew in part. That was really when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away, and that which is perfect has come. See? Understand these things. So we want to drop them now from verse 17, because let's just read more. Could I? Let me see. No, he explained the parable from verse 18 to 23 about the sword and the seed, where the seed had fallen. Then from verse 24 to 30, he speaks another parable. Because it starts with verse 24, another parable. And this one he's talking about wheat and tares. So you want to get verse 31, because I know you're familiar with those verses too. Like if I say wheat and tares, you know right here. If I say, go on, see, if I say mustard seed, like last night, some of you know what mustard seed is, if you don't know your Bible too well, you see. So we're jumping over here to verse 31 now. Another parable, there's a third one now, putting forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. Yeah, just telling the kingdom of heaven like a man who sowed seed in the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed, and how the evil one came and sowed seed after him. Another parable, putting forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field. Which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of it. what happened, you know? He's telling us about the kingdom of God. He says it's like a mustard seed that was planted. It's a herb. But this herb eventually grew to a big tree. It just went wider. And it grew up into a big tree that the fowls of the air begin to come and roost inside it. Yet, mustard is the greatest of the herbs. See? It's something he has in mind pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. Verse 3. 3. Is that right? Am I saying that right, man? Yes, 3:3. A Bible from Mark, I could hardly read probably. Another parable spoke he unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. This is the fourth parable now. Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now he brings a woman in the picture here in the fourth parable. And she's doing something that she is trying to conceal. She took leaven and she hid it in 3 measures of meal. Now how many know where you get meal from? Wheat. You got to grind wheat, the powder, to get meal. But she took this leaven and she hid it in 3 measures of meal and she left the whole lump. And the whole 3 measures of meal was now filled with leaven. All these things spoke Jesus. Now you mean to say wise men and prophets is that to see these things? They couldn't understand that woman was going to put that, hide that leaven in the meal? They couldn't understand about that mustard seed that's going to grow in that tree? These are the things he's talking about. Prophets desired to see and to know these things. But they didn't see it. All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spoke he not unto them. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's why the prophets didn't know it. Because Jesus now is bringing it out. He was the fullness of the word. He was the Son of Man. He came at the end of the Old Testament. See, Elijah revealed the Son of Man. And now the Son of Man is opening up secrets that was hid since the foundation of the world. Things that prophets couldn't catch. Moses, Jeremiah, Elijah. None of them couldn't go up there and bring it down. But now Jesus is saying, that which was hid before the foundation, since the foundation of the world, I'm speaking it to you in a parable. So it's a great thing. He's quoting Psalm 78 verse 2 there, that it might be fulfilled as spoken by the prophet. But I was spoken there as a prophecy. But when this one comes, he'll be given a mouth to speak great things. And when I begin to speak, he will unveil secrets that was hid since the foundation of the world. And he's making that known to that first church. Then verse 36 to 43, he explains the parable of the wheat and the tares, because that's what they asked him there, and he explains it to them. Let's get the fifth parable, you know, the hidden treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man had found. He hide it, and for joy of it, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Think of it. This man found treasure in a field. And when he saw that treasure, he still wanted to make sure he gets that treasure, he buys the whole field. And rejoices when he finds his treasure. And Jesus is saying, the prophets even desire to know that too. And they couldn't understand that. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking to find goodly pearls. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He put such a value. This merchant man, he's a wealthy man. He's a merchant man. And he's seeking pearls. He's seeking something that's costly to buy. He's not trading in cheap and things that have no value. And he finds one pearl, a pearl of great price. And this a pearl of great price held much value to him. That all he had, he sold it to buy it. Then verse 47 now. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net There's a seventh parable here. That was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the age, or the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and separate the wicked from among the righteous. So watch him here now. He brings this right down to the end of the age, when the angels are going to come and a ministry of separation. To separate in the Greek here means investigation judgment. An investigation judgment is where God always separates the righteous and the wicked. Shall the judge of all the earth do right? Shall he destroy the righteous and the wicked? No. See? Remember Abraham asked him, he's going to destroy the righteous and the wicked? God put Noah under the ark first and then destroy the wicked. God put Israel under the blood and then destroy the wicked. Ezekiel 9, God sealed them and then the 12 angels came. God is never, he always separates one first and put them away. That's why the bride had to be called out so the ecumenical move to take place and bind the tears together. So watch how he says here. So shall it be at the end of the age. So then it tells us right away, he's not making an allegory here. He's not giving a fictitious something. He has some definite time in mind. He has some definite event in mind. He has a definite work in mind. And he is speaking that thing. That is to take place. Something definite. But he's speaking it in the form of parable. That is scripture might be fulfilled. Till when he comes, he'll speak it that way. Like he comes in this day talking about token and Christ, the mystery of God revealed and all these things. And this man from General Motors is here and you know he's walking in disguise and everything else. And he's talking in parables. He spoke that way because he's a blind age. But then he come back around to us now and unveil himself. So let us see who he was and why he spoke the way he spoke. So shall it be at the end of the age, the angels shall come forth and separate the wicked from among the righteous, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, just like he called to separate the wicked from the tears. He's bringing it back to the end of the age. See? That was the second parable. We didn't read it. But he's going right back there. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be willing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Not even two understood. Just like when he preached at home. See how many understood I preach? Said, Billy, he said, do you understand what that is? He said, oh yes, that I understand. He said, no, Billy, you understand. He said, that's too much understanding. He spoke that didn't even have the Holy Ghost, he didn't know what he's talking about. But what? When the Holy Ghost came, he's gonna bring it back. Look at the next one now. You see, many it's eight parts of his soul, but people don't need to check. Because nobody can place the eighth one. Where are you gonna place the eighth one? See, the eternal church age. At the end of the seventh season, there was to be a space of time. Yeah. Now watch. Look at this one says. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is an householder, who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Things new and old. Let us pray. Almighty God, take your word tonight, Father. Help us that we can get directly into it and by your grace just be able to receive from you the things that we have need of. Take us out of the way completely, Lord. May your Holy Spirit break the bread in such a way that you will make yourself known. And dear God, it will cause faith to rise on behalf of your children. Faith that we have need of in this hour. Faith sufficient for the rapture, Lord. Grant us, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. So last night I took a little title, The Age of Complete Blackout in Apostasy, and I want to take back that tonight and just make it like part two, because I had about four messages. I thought I would speak them here right here, and when I came last night I couldn't get off the introduction, the first one, and then I realized that, you know, you come like this and there's so much things to be laid before we can strike the word in its fullness. And then we are gathered here in meetings. You don't just want to use the opportunity just to speak it. You want to use the opportunity that it might edify the believers. What you bring, you can grasp it here. I mean, we can always hear it up on the tape, we can always study it back. But then you want to grasp it here while we're here in the presence of the Lord. while the pull of faith is here among the people, and just for the Holy Spirit sees the need to drive this thing down, we can drive it down by God's grace. So I'm taking still the same thought tonight, the age of complete blackout in apostasy, and I was speaking to you last night what apostasy is, and how apostasy, you know, it don't necessarily mean just to be in error or something like that. We found out that somebody could be in error, and God, in His great grace, can still bring them back along. But we find out that when, you know, a person comes to a place where they just rejected the word completely, then that's a very dangerous thing by the grace of God. And we find out that there is no forgiveness for that, there's no repentance for that. The only remedy for that is the lake of fire. And that's why a person has to watch and see, because there's a line that a person can't cross. And the reason that it was only 8 saved in the days of Noah, because they crossed the line. Between that 120 years, there was a time when no more could be saved. Remember the third Paul, the last part of every ministry, preaches to the lost. Noah preached to the lost, not before they were drunk. Moses preached to the lost before death struck. Elohim went down in Sodom and preached to the lost before the fire fell and burned them. Is that right? Jesus went back to these lost to give witness against them, because Moses, Noah, Abraham, all of them spoke of Him. He went back to witness their message in their age. Peter says Jesus, after He died in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit, went into hell and preached to the spirits that were in prison, who at the time were disobedient, in the days when the long-suffering of God waited while the ark was being prepared. Genesis 6 tells you of the word coming to Noah to prepare the ark. Hebrews 11 says, Noah being warned of God of things that are yet, prepared an ark. But then Peter talked about why the ark was prepared. During that time, while he's building it, every time he nailed a piece of wood, and he nailed it in there, every time he understood how to fit this piece, every time he understood how to dovetail this other piece here, when he had to pitch it and seal it up together, every move of that vision that he was walking in, that was coming to pass, the day of mercy was running out. Methuselah was coming to the place where his allotted time was going to be finished. But when he is dead, the flood is going to be sent. And Methuselah, the man who lived the longest, 969 years, spoke of the long-suffering of God, the grace and mercy that God extended to a generation who rejected the message of a vindicated prophet. But we find out, though there were great giants in the land, men of great renown, great scientists, built the pyramids, put things into outer space and everything else, they dig up waterworks in Mexico, different places, that even modern science today cannot even duplicate them things. They had mathematical sciences, they're going to build a pyramid, geometry, architectural sciences, that they had a power, because gasoline power, mechanical power, can't even be bolted that high. They don't even have the technology to be able to cement them stones like that. And but when they put it there, it didn't catch a shot in no time. Such a perfect figure like that. And they build those things in the earth with the science and the knowledge that they had back there. Think of it, in that age, great, renowned scientists. Yet they all heard the message, mixing the test tubes, while Noah's riding that white horse. Amen. But science was shook. Yes. Amen. Amen. Glory. Amen. See, they had to shake it. Yes. Science is of the devil. Yes. Yes. Exactly, the son of, you know what I'm talking about. Yes. I'm talking about vision. Yes. I'll ride the field once more. Yes. And science was mixing them things here. And the message was going forth in the earth that they were rejecting it. Yes. Because it was the devil. They had no representation, they scoffed at it, because they find he's an idiot. Yeah. Now that 7th grade education want to tell me, who have a degree in biotechnology, who have a PhD, who have a DD, who have an LLD, yeah. I can plaster my wall with certificates, this nincompoop want to come and tell me that I'm wrong? But that nincompoop can see far beyond them, what a child is to see. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Yes, sir.
But the foolishness of preaching, he takes a weak thing to confound the wise. Is that right? He takes nothing to confound the things almighty. There's no flesh my glory in his presence. So it's a great mighty thing. So here, we are looking at that. Jesus here, opening up these things in Matthew 13. I don't want to get into preaching. Let me just get right into these scriptures here because we really want to strike some things tonight. He is speaking here in Matthew 13. His parables are spoken of as the parables of the mystery of the kingdom. And while he's speaking it, he's telling them, he said, righteous men and prophets have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. He was opening a space of time telling them that this seed that I'm planting here right now in my ministry, starting forth here, because here comes our punish what I do in my church. He's got to open up things that they didn't even realize what he was talking about yet. Paul was going to come afterwards and bring that mystery down and show them how he laid the foundation of the church and so on. How the church was a great mystery hidden in God. How like Eve and Adam, see, bone is bone and flesh is flesh. A great mystery concerning Christ in the church, husband and wife. Paul was going to open up to them. But Jesus began to speak these things because he had men to tell them that it couldn't be air. How be it when the Holy Ghost has come? He'll teach them further these things. He'll bring it back to remembrance and show them things to come. So they understood that they were in a message that they was hearing from the mouth of a prophet, but it was going to still take the Holy Ghost coming back on a second time. Hallelujah! To take the words of the prophet and make it plain to them. To unfold it and give greater sense to it and show exactly how these things are coming to pass. Glory be to God in the highest. And that's why they didn't get scared when a man said they're going to speak and say, I'll tell you where Jesus is right now. He's in heaven, he's a high priest, dispensation has changed. He's going to get what it says, he's going to the next office. The great high priest passed into the heaven, like it's revealed in the book of Hebrews. See? And he's going to reveal that Jesus is in a ministry in another dimension. The corporate body was taken into heaven. Just like the high priest, he went in, and you will see him a second time. He will turn without sin unto salvation. You will look for him. Is that right? Glory be to God. So Paul understood it. Just like the high priest, after the sacrifice was killed at the brass altar, he would walk into the Holy of Holies with the blood. He would sprinkle the mercy with 7 drops of blood. Speaking of what? 7 churches to be covered by blood. And when that intercession is made known, he's going to come back out. Amen. And there'll be a time. And this same Jesus who went will return again in like manner. And how did he go? He was taken in a cloud. Is that right? And then he'll come back. He'll come back in a cloud. Lord, when he's in his sermon, come in the clouds of heaven. Look up your redemption to that night. Because when he comes back in that cloud, it's the Redeemer coming to tackle deal of redemption. Because when he reads the Father's throne, he's going to take the 7 sealed book. He'll come to get a subject, amen, that he was interceding for. It's going to be that kind of time. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. So, Paul and them begin to open up them things to show them further. Look at Jesus' ministry continuing on. Amen. Bring a church to perfection. Bring a church to a perfect love. Bring a church to a place to be set in order. Knowing that many of them, see, they're going to die. The church is going to be infiltrated. You know, he says, after my departure, the grievous wolf is going to come. He but while I'm in the earth, I have them all bunged up. None can move. Amen. Hallelujah. But he went over to Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, I'll be with you. Where's that teacher at? Speak of all talking to Jerusalem. He said, I'm coming to Jerusalem. Tell him I'm coming. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. He went to the exalted Peter, James, and John, and the whole council. He came up and said, no man after me. Amen. But rather they perceived the grace. What it was, here was a prophet messaging the earth. Not understood by many that that was a prophet messenger who met the pillar of fire, bringing forth the word to the people. Amen. But Peter and them, when he spoke, they said, the man sounded just like Jesus. Hallelujah! The man sounded like the Son of Man. The man sounded like John Elijah. You stand. The man looking at people, all John to look at them by the banks of the river. Amen. He said something different about this man here. Glory be to God. He had to take him to 7 church ages before he could get his honor. Yeah. I don't think a prophet could give him that honor. Yeah. Amen! Yeah. know that honor. God's a prophet. He was a prophet. Glory be to God. Though we under Bible truth, amen. Although we're walking in the scriptures, we're walking in the reality of God. We have not followed common devised fables. So look at Jesus now. Get the picture in your mind. Here he is, the Son of Man. He's in the earth. The great intelligence of God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling in Jesus. The great fountain of God. He showed him at Mount Transfiguration some of the glory that the angels and the seraphim used to cover their face and cry, holy, holy, holy. When he passed into immortality, give him a glimpse of it. So they're going to understand it was the Logos. Amen. The word had become sealed in his mouth. And the seal in his mouth was revealed in the secret that was in the bosom of the Father. No man can know the Father except the Son who was in the bosom of the Father. Hallelujah! This is the mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh. Oh my, the living, walking word, tabernacle deity. Amen. The fullness of the Bible manifested. The word himself. He took the word itself. And he's going to rip open the seals of the book and show them from Genesis to Malachi. Go to a tabernacle in the border. The living word made manifest and nothing left. Hallelujah! Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory! So here he was in the earth, friend, walking. And he comes to a junction in his ministry. The healings had gone forth. Oh, the young rabbi, great thing. But now the mouth, I will open my mouth, and I will utter my voice, and in parables, and I will not speak to them in any way, but by parables, that it might be fulfilled, that this is not a theological ministry, this is a prophetic ministry. Hallelujah! He's speaking parables! And so he began to speak, and the word began to come forth. Amen! And the thoughts in the back part of God's mind, that the prophets, and the sages, and the wise men desired to see these things, and they couldn't grasp it. He was going to speak it and open it up to them. Let's look at First Peter quickly. And you can tell the pastor tonight, oh my, it's going to be a real assistance to me. I want to read it when you have your Bible open. I don't want to beat you to the draw and then be shooting. First Peter 1, verse 9. Just speaking this with Peter here. Peter understood. Who is Peter? He had the keys. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory. He was the apostle to the circumcision. Yes, amen. He knew who Jesus was. Amen. He knew Elijah had come. He knew the Son of Man was revealed. Yes. He knew that they were the pillars in the early church there. Amen. And so he's speaking. Verse 9. He's talking about receiving the end of your faith in the salvation of your soul. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched. Diligently. Remember how Daniel said, oh God, tell us, when shall these things be? Yeah. For many days, Daniel, shall be vision. Just for once, they want to know. He said, Jeremiah, I'll show you great and mighty things you don't even know, Jeremiah. Right. See? So look, they inquired and searched diligently. Who prophesied of the grave that should come unto you? Searching. What? Or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ who was in them did signify when he, the Spirit in them, testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The cross and the crown, the lamb and the lion. The Spirit is testifying. Isaiah says, he is to be done before his children. Jeremiah is to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Different ones testifying of his suffering, his rejection. Then others talk about the king when he's coming out of glory, when he begins triumphal entry. Oh, your daughters, your king shall come unto you. Amen. Glory. They all were testifying, they were speaking about the king coming. And watch this now, because what has been a point here with it. So they searched for these things and couldn't grasp it. They didn't know when these things were to be. Look at Ephesians 3. Let's read something quickly here too. To back that up. What point I'm bringing? Jesus said to them in Matthew 13, he said these things was hid. Sealed up. Kept secret from the foundation of the world. But look at chapter 3, Ephesians here. Just picking out as he says, quickly. Paul speaking about being a prisoner and the dispensation of the grace of God. That word dispensation, I'm sure you heard me explain that before. It means stewardship. It's not just speaking about a dispensation of time, it's called a stewardship of the mysteries of grace. See, God gives him the body of revealed truth. The messenger caught the mystery. Didn't shun to declare the whole counsel of God. See? Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote before in few words. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You see that Daniel and Leviticus and all the things there, revelation, you understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Paul to his head, he's quoting back Jesus. And he's talking about mysteries that he made plain to them, but things that Jesus spoke. What did he say? The Holy Ghost will come and take what I have said and shall reveal it unto you. He will not speak of himself, but he shall take a show of me. Bring back into remembrance, teach you all things. Is that right? For the Spirit of God says the deep things of God. Things of God are spiritually deserved. So now he was having an experience. The Holy Ghost was revealing to him the Word, who Jesus was, what he did, why he came, what he achieved, how these things were fulfilled. Why did Jews miss it? How are they going to come back in the last days? How a wild olive branch is going to graft in? How Ruth is going to come in and all these things? How John will get a Gentile bride? Paul saw it in the Bible. So now he's opening it up and saying, in other ages, this was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles. Peter said, they search and inquire diligently of the time and the manner of time of his suffering and his glory. See? The Spirit was testifying in them, but they couldn't grasp what I was speaking, what I was seeing in vision. They couldn't understand it. Jesus said, kept secret. God only used them as a channel to speak it. Isaiah said, but they shall conceive and don't understand nothing. He's done before he shows. I can talk to the Spirit. David said, appear my hand on my feet. Then said, David, what did you say? Did I say something? What did I say? Blood, get the scribe and then read the old one he just writes. Have no tape recorders, it's got to write it. Amen. But look at this here. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You mean that was a hidden mystery that the prophets didn't know about? That was not being revealed to the apostles? That there's a body of Christ that's going to be made up? Paul had a dispensation of that grace? He was a messenger, first messenger there, in that first age, bringing that grace to the church, laying the foundation. Is that right? Now watch. Of which I was made. Okay, I'm in the same body and passing into the promise of by the gospel. Verse 7, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this verse given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What mystery are you talking about? The one that was hid to the prophet, that has now been revealed by the Spirit, out of the body of church. Why was it made known? It was like he left in Christ, like Eve was in Adam. Yes, Adam walking out of the garden. Yes. Only God alone knows he's male and female. Yes. Inside of there. Yes. Amen. Yes. And there's an appointed time to take it out. Yes. To bring the expression. Yes. Amen. Yes. Glory. Which from the beginning, big old mention of the fellowship of the mysteries from the beginning, have been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent. That now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You mean to say the church is going to unfold a part of God that angels don't know of? Yes. That the angels can only come into the understanding by the church living out this mystery? Yes. Think of it! Angels minister things to us, bring things to us. I'm not heirs of salvation. He shall minister spirits and minister to them. But then now look at the church now. She's going to make known something to put the final powers in the heavenly places. Hallelujah! You see, God cannot become sin. Since holy God cannot become a savior. Since God come back and tabernacle his people. And make them church heirs with him. Amen! See, God justify them and sanctify them. See, a part of God that he can't do good job with nobody else. But you can make it known to the part of his own self. Think of it. Paul said, how is mystery? It is revealed by the Holy Spirit. I hope that all men see it. It was hidden from the beginning. See? Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's a threefold purpose. His eternal purpose is this. Amen. Threefold purpose in the back part of his mind. Because the entire Bible is the expression of one goal and one purpose. And so Paul now is showing, look at this great thing to be made known. So here now, I read those two places, Peter and Ephesians, to do what? I want you to follow me. To let you see that Jesus said those things he was speaking in the prophets in Matthew 13 were sealed up from prophets and so on. Then here, Peter talking to the church about his suffering and the glory. But his suffering was to redeem a church. To sanctify thy blood. To come back and dwell that church. So when he come back in glory and he appear, we shall be like him. He will take his bride to go with him. But Peter is saying that they couldn't put it together. Remember when Jesus said, oh, foolish love, hath believed all in the prophets spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered and then enter into his glory? They couldn't understand the suffering and the glory. They couldn't understand a space of time. Why? Because when it has been revealed to them, when it has been made known to them, one may have seen him here, suffering, next may have seen him here in glory. So they couldn't separate. There is a long space of time. That's why we find John the Baptist saying, when he comes, then he's mighty and alive. He'll burn the calf. I tell you, he's coming in the city somewhere. I'm just waiting to see that dove come down. His fire is in his hand and all goes here. Sorry, John, you're going to be disappointed. He didn't come that way. And it confused John. He then found more record. The Spirit of God coming over him. And then he said, go and ask the man if he's the Messiah. Prophet said, poised compliment, the greatest insult could be given to Jesus Christ. John gave it to him. Remember my message I preached here on the forgotten Beatitude? In other words, John said, I know I'm the voice of the wilderness. I saw it, Elijah, but I'm sure he's God. Go and ask him if he's really God. You understand? John is the creation, part of the creation. Is the creator here? Is the God the redeemer himself? John's only born in sin, come by steps. Did you fulfill God has bodily come by the virgin birth? This is the one who before the beginning sat there with all the attributes inside him, and John was the attributes inside him. And John said, go and ask him. Poised, compliment, repay. But you know something? Jesus could handle that. Hallelujah! He didn't get cut out of the shed. They tell John, blessed is he who has offended me. Glory be to God! If I look a little different, it might have enough revelation to understand it. But above skin, said on the shed, let can't go in it. The Lord, I'll understand better by and by. Hallelujah! Glory! So they didn't understand fully. Now, maybe I can catch for you why they didn't understand. I want to show you why they didn't understand. Why was they confused? Why? What did God keep hid from them? Now notice the way I'm coming tonight. I'm trying to, before I approach Matthew 13 and 8 parables, I want to show you when he was speaking that, how he was opening a mystery and he was showing something. And he said, he showed the duration of this thing will be all the way until the end of the world. What was starting here, he was talking about, was going to go on to the end of the world when he comes in the last days to separate the wicked from the good. When he's going to burn up the chaff with fire. When he's going to take the evil fish, put in the furnace of fire. So you're showing them there's going to be a long space of time. Run out of this thing. And this church that was coming is not, is something that they have to understand, because it's going to look very confusing at certain stages. Yeah. Remember in the Dark Ages? Yeah. When Catholicism for almost 900 years, close down 1,000 years, and Christians in the catacombs, and that man writes and says, he says, God sits down there like a fat, big belly man with his hand in his tummy, allowing all his children to be slaughtered left and right like that. What kind of God is that? See? Prophets look at man without the inspiration. See? Look at through the natural mind. But the corner, we had to fall and go and die. See? Now watch. Watch why those things Jesus was speaking was not known by the prophets, and the prophets are the ones who brought the word to the respective ages and it became the Bible. Isaiah was begin the Bible, Jeremiah was begin the Bible, Hosea was begin the Bible, Daniel was begin the Bible, is that right? So the Jews had the scriptures, that the words of the prophets. Those were the things revealed to the prophets by God for the people. And the reason the people couldn't recognize the manifestation of the word in the form of the Messiah and rejected him, when there's no greater light shone than that. Remember he said, if the work that was done in Capernaum was done in Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah would still be standing. Yes. He said, the queen of the south, yes, come to see the wisdom of Solomon, greater than Solomon's here. Yes. He said, the Ninevites repent of the preaching of Jonah. Yes. Is that right? And he not one sign now? He said, preach. Yes. He said, all these mighty works was done inside of you. Yes. He said, be more tolerable in that day of judgment. Yes. Amen. Amen. Nineveh was trying to condemn you. Is that right? Amen. Amen. Why was Jesus doing that? He was trying to show them, look, the fullness of the light has come. Yeah. And yet they couldn't receive it. Yeah. Why? The way they understood the word. Yeah. Their mind was closed up, that they didn't understand what he was teaching there. Yeah. And he had to go and suffer and die. All those things was according to the word. Yeah. Let's do it quickly. We have to study here tonight. Malachi 4, 5. Let's start there. Good place to start. Help me quick. I don't find mine. Ready to read. Malachi 4, 5. Here's the closing couple of verses of the Old Testament. 400 years before the coming of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus. Here's the last prophet, sealed of the Old Testament here, Malachi. And at the end, he begins to give it a prophecy. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now you see how you end up in the Bible? Every Jew will adjust like I said in the scroll. Watch, lesson Luke 1. And watch when Gabriel came from heaven. Gabriel goes to that prophecy. Luke 1 verse 17. You know the story, Zechariah was in the temple, he's a priest. He was carrying on his service, temple service. Gabriel appeared to him to announce the birth of John. Zechariah doubted. Is that right? And here, John is telling him, Gabriel is telling him, verse 13, but the angel said unto him, hear not Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice in his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. My! And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he, personal for a singular master, watch it, shall go before him. Who is him? The Lord. The verse 16 tells you that. He shall turn to the Lord. Many children. See? He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Hold that right here, look back at Malachi 4, 5 and 7, read. Compare it to, watch and see. I'm trying to bring to you why it was sealed up, because God purposely gave it out of the mouth of the prophets just like that. That's why when it comes to Revelation 10 and 7, the prophet knew how to stop. Close the book. And leave 8 to 11 as a mystery between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet. See? What's this here? See, verse 6 says, he shall turn the heart of the father to the children and conjunction. And the heart of the children to their fathers, just like once by the end of the curse. But when Gabriel comes, he reads half the prophecy. He only reads to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And then he goes on, and the disobedient of the wisdom, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And you know what happened? Zechariah said, I'm old, I'm sick in the years and everything else, and he was struck dumb, but the son came anyhow. Because there was a vision. It was God's word. The old unbelief guest of God. And the woman said, But I doubt that. He says, just say whether you doubt or not, it's going to happen by the vision. Of course, it'll be dishonorable to you that you doubt like Zechariah. You struck dumb, it's dishonorable to him. But God's purpose is fulfilled anyhow. Amen. So notice something. Let's read it, Matthew 17. Just, I shouldn't be doing this for believers in the message too many years, but I know we have one or two, so I just want to maybe help them. But when I do that, I kind of dread I'm going to lose 5 minutes right here. Matthew 17. And this is where many people get confused because they don't understand. And they say, well, John the Baptist was Elijah who had come already. But notice he had only read half of the prophecy. This Elijah was to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. There's two things. He's going to turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers. Gabriel was too specific. He read half the scripture and stop. Because that pertains to the first coming. Matthew 17, verse 10. Jesus coming on the mountain here, and the disciples were a little confused because of some hard questions. The scribes was asking some charges that they were making that Jesus wasn't the Messiah. So his disciples came to him and was talking to him. Verse 10, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then, said the scribes, that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Now watch this again. See, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. He's showing you what he's going to do when he comes. And shall is what? Future tense. John the Baptist had done come and die already. When Jesus is speaking this. Remember, John died, then Jesus went up in his ministry. So notice. But I say unto you that Elijah has come already. See, two Elijahs here. Two comings here. Elijah truly shall first come and restore things. See? And then he says, but I tell you that Elijah has come already. But Gabriel said what? John was going to go forth in the spirit and power of Elias. Elias is Greek for Elijah. Elijah is Hebrew, Elias is Greek. So in the New Testament, written in Greek, in the New Testament, you see Elias instead of Elijah. If it's quoting from the Hebrew, then you'll get Elijah. But watch. And they knew him not, but had done unto him whatsoever they desired. So Jesus is telling them, the reason they reject John, because they didn't know that John was really Elias. But watch something, friends. My point is, why did the prophets not understand? And why did the people didn't recognize Jesus? Jesus said this was hidden. And I'm showing you the way they understood the word. Malachi 4:5, when God gave the promise, he spoke of two comings in one breath. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, that was John the Baptist. Then he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. One is in the first, before the first coming, one is before the second coming. Between those two comings is 2,000 years. Amen. But they couldn't read it. Because why? That 2,000 years was hidden secret in God's mind. But when Jesus began to speak 8 parables, he showed what's going to happen in the 2,000 years.
Amen.
Hope you get me. You don't get me right now, you have to stay and stop it and figure out what I'm saying. But I have to move on. I pray it will open you on my next scripture, Isaiah 61. Show you another instance like that to know that what I'm saying is scripture. You might have a denominational believer here, they may just be taught denominational theology, and these things might be a little different. But just watch how scripture this is. Isaiah 61. What's the prophecy? What's the fulfillment? Malachi spoke 400 years before John came. 400 years after, Gabriel comes down and says, he will go forth in the spirit and fourth Elias, send the heart of his father to the church. Bam! Stop the scripture. Isaiah spoke 800 years before Jesus. And here he's speaking here. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord and the conjunction, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Let's turn to Luke 4. I know you know it, but I have no reason to put in the tape and for those who don't know it. But it's necessary for my thought. I'm not really preaching this, but I'm just trying to. When I bring in Matthew 13, I'll have to bring it in right beside a deer, so that's why I have to take that to make it clean where it fits. I found mine already. You find yours yet? Amen. Amen. Praise God. You get past the throw. Verse 14. I did after the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus, went in the wilderness, was tested for 40 days, came back to begin his ministry. And Jesus returned, verse 14, and Luke 4, in the power of the Spirit in the Galilee, and there went out a fame of him from all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And that has chapters, you know. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and to come out of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptability of the Lord. And he closed the book. He read the first part and closed the book. Why? Because the second part of their vengeance was going to be at the second coming. And right in that conjunction between the acceptability of the Lord and the day of vengeance is 2,000 years. Gabriel came with John, stop the scripture. Jesus comes, take the book, stop the scripture. Every other Jewish teacher would read the whole scripture. And so they had the people looking for turn the heart of the Father back to churn, the heart of churn back to the face of the Father, and the earth to burn his fire right here, and John said, hand his father's his hand, he was put the center for his butt at the top. I didn't know he was a little overzealous, not rightly dividing the word of truth. See? Now let me give you one more with that, Daniel 9. I'm a long way to come to my age. I've come to the black of apostles tonight, so please help me. I want to make up this time. Daniel 9. You know Daniel 9 is the 70 weeks. When Gabriel came to reveal to him the 70 weeks that he's given upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And it begins from about verse 24, which I'm not going to read 24 and 25. I'm going to jump right to 26. 24 and 25 was speaking about how the street was going to be built, the wall was going to be built in troublous times. You know the story about Nehemiah and Ezra and them there? How they're going to build back the temple and the wall and so on. And now watch this, verse 26. And after 84 years shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Speaking of his death at Calvary. And the conjunction, the people of the prince shall come and shall destroy the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Jesus was cut off, but not for himself. He died on Golgotha's hill, A.D. 30, or find the one calendar. If you want him to use the next one, A.D. 33. Choose the 21, so you want to follow. Vote wrong. Amen. But choose one. So, he died A.D. 30. Then, Titus came, the Roman general, and destroyed the sanctuary AD 70. So between the size of the column of himself and the sanctuary shall destroy the flood is 40 years right near. And what's the next verse now? And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And that's going to happen here. And that is 2,000 years in 7 days. Alone. And conjunction again. He shall confirm the covenant. So notice something. Just like how you read it here. So the Jews had it and read it. They did not know where to stop that scripture. The prophet was given verbal inspiration to speak it that way. Why? Because God was sealing up the revelation in the Old Testament. Hallelujah! How did he seal it up? By the way, spoke it. How did he open it? By the way, spoke it. Amen! So when Jesus came, he knew how to break the scripture and said, this day is this part fulfilled. I'll leave the other part for the next 2,000 years. And a prophet come back in this day and the priest will hand him the book. Amen! And he come back and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. Amen! The voice spoke up to heaven. And then he went into Nazareth and the priest handed him the book to read. Is that right? So these people sealed up in the book like this. And that's why they didn't understand it. Now to prove that, let's turn to Luke 19. And I hope this has been interesting to you. Luke 19. Verse 11. You see, that's why sometimes the word don't go over the text sometimes, because you have to understand what the people are looking at in that day. How the Jewish teachers missed it. They talked off the word. And you have to understand that how false teaching blinds the people. They misplace, mislocate, and misinterpret the word. So when the people don't know what time it is, they don't know what to look for. Amen. But you have to know what time it is in order to know what to look for, what is promised in the time you're living in. And then you have to know how to recognize it. Amen. Luke 19, verse 11. And as they heard these words, he just come and pick up Zacchaeus out of the sycamore tree, you know the story. And he's going up to Jerusalem. Very soon the squeeze will come. And he's heading down there now, and he says, and as they heard those things, he had it spoke a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem. You know, just when they speak it, just when he's nigh to Jerusalem. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they taught that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Why was he teaching that? Because they had a concept that the kingdom of God was going to appear right here and then. They couldn't understand Daniel's vision, because the fourth beast was never revealed to Daniel. Daniel had the revelation of the first three beasts, but then the fourth one. But in the prophecy, Messiah, the cut off but not himself, and the people of that prince was going to come and destroy the sanctuary. And so since they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, they couldn't understand that power coming and destroying the sanctuary was the one spoken of the fourth power. See? But what's something Jesus knew? That fourth power was in the earth as well. He knew he was going to die in the Roman government. He knew his hand going to cover him, and then the people, the princes, were going to come in the sanctuary, and there's not one soul remained standing upon this temple here. Is that right? And he's going to tell him, when is Jerusalem come past, and he's letting the fly in the wind and soul. We heard it some last night. All right. And so they tried to make Jesus king. They said, the man telling him, wasn't the wine healing the sick? Said, we don't need no hospitals no more. We don't need no winery no more, no distillery. They said, the man multiplying bread. They said, we don't need bakery going out there in existence. Yeah. This is the kind of king we want. Yeah. And they said, we're going to vote this man. We want this man to be king. And he said, no. Pray thy kingdom come. Yeah. Because he understood the kingdom is to be set up in the days of the dead God. He tells them, Jews, you are not knowing the scriptures. Now the power of God, the scripture cannot be broken. Not one shot of sinners coming in the way I fail. Is that right? Amen. And he knew it wasn't time for the kingdom. He said to go out and become a priest before he came king. He said to become judge between his priesthood and his kingship. Amen. So he began to teach them parables of Matthew 15. This was a long space of time. During the feast of Pentecost, 7 months. After the feast of first fruits and before the feast of trumpets, when Israel is gathered, 7 long months. Amen. You're going to get that part just a little. just go here. When I give you this, and you look like a tape, you open up your track, you watch it, and you're going to get even clearer. I guarantee you that. Get it clear. I'm still going to do the same thing. Glory. So he spoke that power because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Listen to Acts 1. Just before the Holy Ghost came on the church now. Jesus was getting ready to ascend into heaven. There was 40 days apart. And the 40th day is getting ready to ascend into heaven. He took out the Mount of Olives. And he began to speak to them. And he said, go back in Jerusalem and tarry, but it's going to be endured power from on high. Not many days from now, the promise of the Father was going to come upon them. Verse 5. Verse 4, he said, I'm going to wait for the promise of the Father, which they heard from him. And verse 5, he said, for John fully baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. When they therefore will come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It was still a mystery. What's something? They thought. They were still thinking. What are the kingdoms? You want to see the next one up? Look at Luke 24. So you see how prevalent the idea was. The Jews thought the kingdom was going to appear. The apostles thought the kingdom was going to appear right there and then. Luke 24. The men that wrote the emails were speaking to Jesus here. Easter Sunday. Sunday evening. Just walking from the afternoon down to the evening. And verse 20, they were telling him about, you know, Jesus being a prophet, mighty in word and in deed before God and all the people. And verse 20, Luke 24, it says, and how the chief priests and all rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And besides this, it is the third day since these things were done. That's why the prophet also says, them Jews thought, when the Messiah coming, come with 10,000 angels, come right up and say, I'll come to take over the kingdom here, kick the Romans off the earth, and establish the kingdom. Why? Because they couldn't divide Daniel 9, 26 and 27. They couldn't divide Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. They couldn't divide Malachi 4, 5 and 6. They couldn't divide it. And because they couldn't divide it, they didn't know how to break the scripture. They didn't know there was going to be a long interval coming. Did Paul teach in Romans 11? Israel was blinded so the Gentiles could come in. Is that right? And like a wild olive branch is grafted in. Why? For 2,000 years there are people going to try to convert Jews. But the Bible says they'll be saved in one day. Prophetic day. God is going to bring, God brought them back in the homeland, and God only deals with them in Palestine, and God deals with them by the prophets that he always sent to them. And they are promised two witnesses in Revelation 11 that are going to be prophets. Is that right? Yeah. Going to come and preach 1,203 score days, which is 42 months, 3.5 years, to finish up the last half of the 78 weeks. Because 78 weeks are determined. So between the 69 and a half week, get it now? We're narrowing down here now, coming to the parables now. Between the 69 and a half week and the last half of the 78 week, there's 2,000 years. Between the assembly of the Lord and the day of vengeance, there's 2,000 years. Between Elijah for the first coming and Elijah for the second coming, there's 2,000 years. Is that right? Jesus began to open that up when he came. Because that was a secret from the foundation of the world, and the Spirit and the prophet inquired diligently and searched what manner of time that was going to be. But nobody knew it. But when Jesus came, he said, now many prophets died to know these things. Paul said, this was not revealed, was not being revealed with the early church. I'm laying the foundation. Take care of your bill. And Paul said, in his own time, he will show who the blessed and only potentate is. It wasn't meant for no time and season. But watch now. Look at this book here. Page 14 in your church's book. My. You should be with me in 1980. 1980 when I preached this here. Now I said that the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus and what he is doing in the churches for those seven ages. It is a revelation because the disciples themselves didn't know these recorded truths. It has not been previously revealed to them. You remember that they came to Jesus in the book of Acts and asked him, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. But then after Paul comes and says, 1 Thessalonians 5, brethren, you have no need for me to write unto you, for you all know the times and the seasons. That the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And the one to avail of you say, peace, peace, and destruction to the house. Remember not when I was here, I told you all these things, too. Is that right? And that would come as we fall away, they play the apostasy. You getting it? In other words, that was their message. They understood. They begin to see what was coming in the age. They begin to see what was going to go on according to what Jesus said. They know the field was going to be reaped when he comes back. He's going to come back and investigate. He's going to come into separation. He's going to call the elected out. It's going to be a dark day. He said the Father will come first. And then the Lord will come. The coming of the Lord will not take place until the Father will come first. Paul and talk. Now watch here. Glory. And he said, not we don't know the times or the seasons. See, those men were still thinking of Jesus having an earthly kingdom. But it was a spiritual kingdom that he was going to build. Let me inject this right here. The wise men saw the star in the sky. Where is he born? King of the Jews. We have seen a star in the east and we have come to worship him. They call him the King of the Jews. They say he's born King of the Jews. Is that right? The angel comes to the shepherd and says, on this day is born in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You'll find the baby up in his father's clothes. Then John looked at Jesus and said, behold, not your king, behold the Lamb of God. Why? Because his subject needed redemption. He had to die first to redeem them. If my kingdom is world, then my servants fight. He knew the kingdom was going to come in the doors of iron and clay, and so far it was only in the legs of iron. The toes of iron and clay didn't come until 1969. Eisenhower, iron, and Khrushchev, clay. Eisenhower means iron. In English, Khrushchev means clay in Russia. I know in 5 Eastern Nations, 5 West Nations met, in the United Nations, Khrushchev took a show of beats on the thing. See? And then you see how they're mingling all these fields, all these ethnic cleansing and all these different things, systematic rapes and all these different things, replanting the whole field, redrawing the maps and everything else. Sure. That's what the whole thing is about. Okay. Kill out the Muslims then. Take all the Muslim women. Break the Muslim men's spirit by raping them. Set up camp and rape them systematically. Just like Hitler killed the Jews systematically, the final solution to the Jewish question. So they have something there, and they poke on the bodies in Bosnia, and they talk about everything else around the world. And people dying there by the hundreds and hundreds of thousands, tortured and everything else. After they break the men's spirit, taking the wives, every young girl's daughter, and rape them, then they lock them up until they are pregnant and they can't abort the children. See? Catholic men. What are they doing? Planting the seed. Mingling the seed and breaking the power of the other nations. It is strategy in warfare. It's a long, ancient strategy. That's what Balaam did too. Balaam saw the way to corrupt Israel. Hybrid them. That's what the serpent in the garden of Eden. So we come to human race. When you understand the word, you see how these things move. Glory. Now look. So Jesus knew the kingdom was going to come in what? To the iron clay. But these men don't have that revelation. They say, we talk in the legs of iron at this time. The kingdom is going to come. He's going to say, you don't understand. All you see so far is the feast of the Passover, the feast of the unleavened bread, and the feast of the first fruits, my death and resurrection. The kingdom don't come until the feast of tabernacles. Yes. We only need legs of iron. The kingdom can't come until we need toes of iron and clay. We had to run all the time down until it comes down to the toes. We had to go through the feast of Pentecost, these long 7 months. They're going to call up the church. And then you're going to show them in the Bible. Look at Ruth coming. Look at Gentile bride. Calling the people of the Gentile community. Look at Joseph asking for the prison. Ascended on high to the right hand of Pharaoh on the throne. He got a Gentile wife. He's going to go in all these sites and show them a Gentile bride coming in after the feast of the first fruits to show what the feast of Pentecost was. Matthew 13 is what? Eight parables about the 2,000 years. 2,000 years has been seven church ages. What is seven church ages? Feast of Pentecost. Feast of Pentecost have been what? The calling out of a people of the Gentiles for his name's sake, the building of the church. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Paul laid the foundation. And it's been built right up into the headstone. Is that right? So, great hidden mystery in the back part of God's mind. And let me tell you, and that's why I want to get it correct. Out of the ages coming to see, out of the coming trumpet, out of the coming to the bar, and the whole book too. Maybe you're coming in just on, as a historical something. Then you stop right there, and you still remain blind. You see, when you come into the right way, and you see how it is, I'm going to show you how, though it was hid by the prophets, hid from them understanding what they were saying, yet it was sealed up in the Bible. I don't have the time. Because God help me, I can walk you through Genesis chapter 2 to Genesis 18 and show you seven churches. Show you from Abraham to Joshua and show you seven churches. Show you from Jeroboam to Jezebel and show you seven churches. See? To the Bible. Show you from Leviticus 23, three comings of Christ. Leviticus 23, whole three comings. First coming to redeem his bride. Second coming to claim his bride. Third coming to reign with his bride. First three feet is coming to redeem his bride. See? Then 7 months, feet of Pentecost, he calls out his bride. Between the feet of between the trumpet and the day of atonement, he takes his bride off the earth. And on the feet of tabernacles, he comes back to redeem his bride. In the Bible, it was sealed up. When Jesus now began to speak the parables, let me show you another one. I'll go to heaven. Genesis 2. He was Adam in the garden, that was Christ. God from the street, that was Calvary. Took the bride from his side. Is that right? Adam and Eve was there. Then the serpent come, the white horse rider. Nicolaitans conquer Adam's bride. Plant a perverted seed, another gospel. As the serpent beguiled Eve, so these come corrupt in your mind. Out of the Eve womb. See? Eve was what? Eve is like the book of Ephesians. The mother of all living. The first church was the mother of all spiritual living. Out of the mother Eve came forth twins. She had two seeds in her field, Cain and Abel. Is that right? Wheat and tares was in the same field. Ephesus mean what? Aim at and relax. Aim at perfection, but then relax. And in that unguarded moment, the enemy coming. And so that's the discrepancy. That's the apostasy inside of it. See, I'm based on an error. Yea, had God said, you shall not. And begin to add to the word. Then, Simon, I mean what? Bitterness. Cain begin to fight Abel. False vine and the true vine that come forth in the earth. False religion and true religion. And there was war. See, what that after the white horse went forth in the serpent, false doctrine, what's the red horse coming now in war and bloodshed? First time human blood was shed on the earth. See? Pergamos mean marry. Church marry the world. Sons of God for the daughters of men and took on them wives. And the church marry the world. See? Then Tartula, dominant female, Babylon, Mr. Babylon. Natural Babylon, built the river Euphrates. Nimrod, the Pope, who conquered everything and bring that false religion. Because this Mr. Babylon is the same religion as Nimrod. Is that right? Then Genesis 12, Abraham, like Luther, just started by faith, went out by faith, but bringing creeds and dogmas with him. He had a lot with him, he had his father with him, that God can bring. See? Genesis by faith. Genesis 12, Genesis 15, God confirmed the covenant by blood. Sanctification. Kill heaven, kill wrath, to the left, confirmed the covenant by blood. And the message now, you know. Unconditional covenant of Abraham. Read it. Genesis 17, a Shalai, nurse of me, the Pentecostal. Drawing the life of God, a baby drawing the life of the mother. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the H inside of you, could only be uttered by out-breathing in the Hebrew. See? And then Genesis 18, at the end of the Pentecost of God in the form of man come walking. Amen. It's just on his clothes. Amen. Put it back to the tent like that. Amen. Is that right? So from Genesis 2 to Genesis 18 is 7 church ages. When God says, and right to the age of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira. God didn't say, and right to the age of Sardis, Philadelphia, Smyrna, Thyatira, Lydia, you know, Pergamon. God didn't take them. He put it in a chronological order. There was many other churches in Asia besides these seven.
Yes.
There was Galatia, there was Corinth,
yes.
there was Colossae, there was Thessalonica, there was Philippi.
Yes.
But God chose out seven.
Yes.
And God put them in a specific order because his seed was already in Genesis. And what does Genesis have to comfort in Revelation?
Yes.
Then from there you take your seals. See? Genesis 12 to 17, that was man. But Genesis 18 was the eagle. Shall I hide it from Abraham? See? So you go through like that, and you see Antichrist spirit in the serpent, false prophet in Cain, beast in Nimrod. It's all there in the seed. So when you look and you see then that all these things were said in the Bible from the prophet.
Amen.
Don't you realize? He's in the last of his sons of God.
Yes.
We'll come and take his things out and display to the church.
Yes.
Can't I say tonight? Wise men, prophets desire to see and hear these things, and you see and hear them?
Yes.
That somebody has spirit of discernment and hidden the Bible?
Yes.
Somebody has spirit of understanding, the spirit of God, such the deep things of God?
Yes.
Here are the Jews, all Jewish nations, blinded. Why? They were looking for the kingdom right here and then.
Yes.
You are looking for it yet? You know it's this age.
Yes, sir.
You think the fourth beast evolved the whole world.
Yes,
you think dividing the land for gain.
Yes,
you think causing craft to prosper.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes,
you think thinking of changing times of the Lord.
Yes,
you think the spirit wants to put it by peace.
Yes,
it's all happening.
Yes,
so those men, the apostles thought it was going to come. But what happened? When he gave the book of Revelation to John.
Yes.
He showed it all the way to the new heaven and new earth.
Amen.
He showed it in the book. But it was still sealed up in symbol. So even though John saw it, he can't understand. Amen. Hallelujah. The history was not yet made. How could you understand and see it in reality when the history is being made? He said, don't worry about that, John. I will show you what a beast is. That beast is such and such. That sea is multitudes of people.
Yeah.
Just like he had to wade through the net in the sea.
Yeah.
Multitude of people, the gospel, dragging all kinds.
Yeah.
I'm sure you see all kind of sweet parts of the state already.
Yeah.
Come up, cry over. Listen, come up, cry by the altar. Frog, ball on the place. See? And then the frog, oink, oink, poof, take everything, take back all from where they come from. Why? You know what? God's not a separated. God's not anyone else. Go for the net. Go for the net. Take the nice fish, keep the basket. Hallelujah! Now go home with him! Go to the table with him! And let me tell you, you're always what you're worried about. Rainbow trout to begin with, the water at that point. The net caught you. In making rainbow trout, it's always rainbow trout.
Amen!
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah! You're always saved! Thank you, Jesus!
Amen.
Oh, my! Amen. Glory!
Yes,
my!
Glory.
Let me just touch the top here now. You know, it's hard to have students like these. Oh, my. You come here, yes. Matthew 27 parables, he had in his mind. Here, Jesus, now. So you understand now? When he came here, John and the prophets, listen now, John the Old Testament prophets, didn't have a clear revelation of the body of Christ, of the bride. They didn't understand how she was going to come. Because they didn't understand those seven feasts that they had was more than religious ordinances. It was symbols of prophecy. And when you look at the chart, I want to tell you to go slow here at this point, I'm trying to wind up. When you look at the chart, you're going to see Leviticus 23. You start your order, because why?
Amen.
The first three feasts. Feast of the Passover, feast of the unleavened bread, feast of the first fruit, feast of the Passover, unleavened bread, is feast of what? Christ, death. His first coming, Son of Man. Feast of first fruits 3 days after. His what? Resurrection.
Yes, yes.
Then for 40 days, he was on the earth after the resurrection. Went up, and 10 days after the Holy Ghost came, after the, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Because Pentecost means 50. See, seven Sabbaths?
Yes.
Seven sevens are 49, and 50 is a Jubilee.
Yes.
is a holy convocation, a baptism of fire on the 8th day, coming back. And then watch. Then the feet of Pentecost came, and then you have 7 months, 7 long months. Now you always find the prophet, he kind of mixed up many times in tennis. But then he comes up with question and answer, you know, if you're a minister here, he'll know what I am meaning. I'm saying it wrong. But it's 7 months, and I know a minister would catch that. So if you look in the Bible, it's 7 months. The feast of Pentecost was 7 long months. And then in the 7 months, the first day of the 7 months, you had the feast of trumpets. And then the trumpets was blown to do what? Gather the scattered people. I want you to just, I'll take a little message here, God help me, on trumpets and show you. Trumpets in the Bible all war, political disturbance, an alarm going off. They all have to blow that trumpet. For war, for assembling the people, whatever it is. Indians always have to blow a trumpet. And so, when you pick up something in the Bible as a symbol, it goes all the way.
Yeah.
It goes all the way. Now watch. We were saying something last night about the age of apostasy and the abandonment of religion. And in bringing that thought to you, I wanted to stress something, and I was trying to show you that what is going to happen is that Satan is going to lead the whole world in rebellion against God, is what is happening. You know what I'm saying? The whole world will be led in rebellion against God. And that's what happened. They put Christ in the church. Don't make a mistake, you know. Just like the Jews say, we will not have this man rule over us. We have no king but Caesar. Let his blood be upon us and our children. Give us Barabbas. That is what his generation did. Those 300 ministers in Chicago, he said they sat down there, they wept, they cried. He said, Brother Brown, I never saw it like that. I'm coming up to be baptized. He said, Tommy, he sent me to Brother Brown, 75 ministers coming to be rebaptized. He said, did they come? None of them come. On indictment, he said, they are everyone across the line. And he quotes Hebrews 6, they come to the knowledge of the truth. But fall away and carry yourself to repentance. Tasted of the good will of God and the power of heaven. And the world to come. Stand your time for being the curse of time and theophanies and the angel of God here.
Amen.
Pillar of fire, come and move in the middle. That is present to see.
Yeah. Amen.
See? And Hebrews 10, the same blood that sanctified them, bring them right up.
Yeah.
Like the 10 spies.
Yes, sir.
But they didn't go on. That is Paul in Hebrews 8. Don't neglect your better salvation. He said, think of it.
Yes, yes,
amen. He said, remember the book of Egypt and then go and live at the ending.
Yes.
In the fear, there's a promise left us of ending to come short. Let's live at the ending.
Yes,
let's draw near with a full heart.
Yes.
We are not given a drawback.
Right.
On the petition, we are not believe unto the Savior of the soul.
Yes.
Look to Jesus, you have inflicted a deep press in the battle.
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
He saw the danger
of
death coming to the knowledge of truth.
Yes,
and then begin to follow me. To become apostate.
Yeah.
Has no more. He said, if they died by two witnesses under Moses, under the blood of Moses and goats, how much so of punishment?
Right.
You understand that?
Right?
Yeah. Amen.
When I was bringing that last night into you, to show you, then when they put that in the outside church, they don't send you trust. You're not under this prison, leave a man.
Yeah.
Walk inside places. He's hunting a house.
Yeah.
Demons hunt a house.
Yeah.
When they have to leave, they say, let's go in them swine.
Yeah.
They just out their body. And he said, they walk in dry place. And they're going to come back, find the house swept and garnished.
Yeah.
They beat against it, if they pull up, and they go right back, and the state is worse. So, if they greet Christ away, the house is going to stay empty.
Yeah.
Because before Christ could have come in, when the Jews had the revival, the Methodists had the revival, the Pentecostals had the revival, when Christ was coming to deal with them, when they were leaving the organization the age before, see? Then when they went and they organized, they put him out again.
Amen.
And so he kept coming. And they put him out, and then, as I told him, look where his position is, he revealed his position. He's on the outside, he's like, stand up, he's gone, no.
Yeah.
And in doing that, that took place and was identified, or what was identified on the earth, God showed in the heavens. He said, look at me drawing it. I've been here in Shalom, I can't come time to read it. He said, I draw it here on the board in the church ages. He said, and God come and vindicate in the heavens. See? And show it out there. And then he went to the scripture and showed gross darkness on the earth and on the people. He said, but you rise and shine. He said, the dawning of a new day.
Amen.
He said, I say to you, church, Shalom. Why? He said, because God now is suffering the darkness in Genesis. He's pushing it to one side. Push it right into the world council of truth.
Yeah.
Satan himself is that darkness. Yeah. His kingdom is becoming personified. Under the fourth seal is what? Hell was following death.
Yeah.
Death was a person.
Yeah.
And hell was all these people who were blind, wretched, naked, miserable, and who had not. Who had rejected the souls in prison now.
Amen.
Because when they rejected the blood, you can't be covered by the blood. Because they had no love for the truth. He gave them over to vile affections. He gave them over to a strong delusion to believe the lie and be damned by it. God said, what's the rule you? The lie is going to rule you. Remember in Romans 6? Is a kingdom. For the sin once had dominion over us, now sin have no more dominion. Now we bring forth righteousness and peace and so on, the fruit of righteousness. Why? Either God reign in you or sin reign in you. See? Man's only an agent. Criminal agent. And he makes his choice. And decisions are made in the mind. And that's where the battle is. And you accept or reject it. And that's why God just came, sin lies at the door. You're going through the mind battle now, should you? Should you? Maybe I should. Somebody might see me. I'm going to the dark. I'm going to the dark. Oh, my. Going through the mind battle. Sitting alive at the door. Because the mind is the gate of the soul. Every time that seed gets stuck in the womb here, it's gone. Conception takes place. And then what is conceived here begins to just grow and develop. Remember I explained to you last night? Paul said, the serpent beguiled, so these, which is another gospel, and then he said, and the man of sin sits in the temple.
Amen.
So from the seduction, it brings forth the great man of sin, come forth himself in the end, in the last days. Matthew 13, let me check them parables and close. Let's get with the topic here. First few parables, what? Something in it. First few parables, he speaks about seed. I'll try and pick it up tomorrow a little bit. A little more, but to close it off tonight. First few parables, Jesus will open up something here, showing how there is going to be a conflict of a church. Church is going to start to open up a long dispensation between the acceptable year of the Lord and their vengeance, between the 69 and a half week and the 70th week. He's showing them what's going to happen. He's preaching about it. He's opening up the mystery. And he tells 8 parables. First one, the source of the seed, and shows different type of soil. Next one, he goes in, and this one, he spans the dispensation all the way to the end of the age. And in there, he shows wheat and tares, they're going to grow side by side in the same earth. They're going to be part of the same church. They are going to be anointed by the same rain. Both going to say hallelujah, 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 when the rain falling. But each will bring forth their own fruit.
Amen.
Both were to live by the same nourishment and everything else.
Amen.
He was teaching something. Then he took the mustard seed. The first 3 parables deal with the first 3 ages. The lion age. Speaking of the seed. But Paul, Uranus, and Martin was what? Lion.
Amen.
Then Pergamos, the 3rd age. Meet Mary. Church and state came together, and the church gave you the power of the state, and then it changed to a red horse, and it changed from a lion to an ox. Then Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost was what? Reformers. And that was the age of man. And what's called in Pentecost, the age had no messenger. Because the Pentecostals start off as the Pentecostals, but they really is the Laodiceans. They become the Laodiceans. And when they become the Laodiceans, then their messenger comes to them.
Yes.
The messenger don't come to them when they spend the gospel.
Amen.
Because the lyrics is rich and it is good. Pentecostal have no stocking, tambourine, no guitar, then have that $1 million building. See? When the Hill Revival started, then millions are coming to the Pentecostal fold. See? Not in the Brown Tabernacle. He sent them in the Pentecostal fold. He's have over 2 million souls to Christ already. Wait a minute. Pentecostal fold. They believe in the healing. He was sponsored by who? Pentecostal. 1946 to 55, the greatest Hill Revival has struck the earth. See? A servant that suffered time, called the horse, the lame, the maimed, and the blind. Supper time, evening time, a servant singular. Amen. One man, not morning time, breakfast time, not lunch time, midday, but supper time, evening time. Hot, lame, male, and blind, what? Healing revival. When the fig tree became the first bud and all other trees. Fig tree is Israel. Amen. The commission given Israel in the homeland. Gentile nations, the other trees, going to get a reviving. A tree when it's putting for its bud is reviving. Amen. Amen. So the first three parables speak of the seed, the land age. Then the fourth parable picks up a woman. Because that fourth age. When you take Matthew 13, compare Revelation 2 and 12. Revelation 2 and 3 is what? Seven church ages. I took the type for you. I gotta go back again and pick up the serpent and pick up Cain, pick up Nimrod, and come down and show how the tears was coming along the same way too. How the sodomites was next to Abraham too. Yeah. See, but I'm thinking you're catching it. The fourth was a woman. Who was the woman in the fourth age? Does anybody know? I suffer that woman Jezebel, that false prophetess, who seduces my servant, and make him eat the sacrifice of idols. I will cast her children into a bed, hell, I'll kill them with death. Yeah. Is that what he said? Yeah. It was a dark age. Yeah. What did she do? She put 11 in the meal. Where's 11? She had to be with 11 scattered parties, be with 11 Herod. 11 is always false doctrine in the Bible. Yeah. The tree makes a meal, the tree works the bread. Yeah. Then the apostles' doctrine, justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And what did she do? She turned that around. She made three persons in one God. She made a Trinity doctrine, all these things. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. She bring all the Christians in that age. Yeah. She made to kill them all. Yeah. Kill all the true church. What did Jezebel do in the Old Testament? Yeah. She killed the prophets of God. Yeah. And then set up a pagan religion. Yeah. She hid the meal. Yeah. She hid the leaven in the meal. She had an evil intent. She hides it, she's doing it secretly, deception. She's turning the truth into a lie, it's a fable. Why? Because in Pergamos, when he's married, the white horse rider was crowned and become a false prophet. And now the false prophet has the false doctrine. Because in Pergamos, you have the doctrine of Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam. Is that right? And then it went into the Jezebel teaching. I hear the fourth age now. What you had? You had a woman leavened the whole meal and the all three measures of meal became so leavened. Yeah. And then the next age, you know what she began to do? A measure of pain, a measure of her body. Yeah. She was charging them money now to come out of purgatory, all kinds of different things. She corrupted everything. Yeah. Then look at the fifth one, hidden treasure. And get this, it was like treasure hidden in a field. And a man this time found it. Watch how it comes from a woman to a man here. The attention was focused on a woman, an evil church. Hiding, leavening the meal. Giving her she's some great teacher. That false prophet Jezebel, with a false teaching, a false doctrine. Yeah. Then now watch. Luther, the fifth parable was Luther in the Reformation. The just shall live by faith is what? The basic truth of the entire gospel. Faith in what? Faith in the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in what he did on the cross, bringing justification. Yeah. That you are justified on the basis of what he's done on our behalf. Yeah. And so he says here, it's a treasure, like treasure hidden in a field, and the man has found it. And he had it for joy of it. He goes and does all that he had and bought that field. Speaking of Christ's work that he did. Yeah. Christ paid the purchase price. You have to own the bottle of price. Remember in the Bible? Luke 15, when you get the parable of the lost coin? Yeah. then the Bible of the lost sheep, and the Bible of the lost son. And each of them said, I have found my sheep that was lost, will rejoice with me. I have found my coin that was lost, will rejoice with me. I have found my son who was dead, he's alive again. And he's showing the joy of the father, the shepherd, and the woman in finding that was lost that she had before. See? And then the joy that it brings in discovering it. Well, that was the message. They understood that it was not paid for all this to get salvation. But they begin to read in Romans, God justifies a person by faith and believe in what he has done. And so Luther started a reformation by going back to the work of Jesus Christ for justification. And being assured, he was the man who paid the price for the church. He is the one who bought our salvation. You gotta pay for your own salvation. But you wanna live up all the means. You gotta go through all these things. He said it all that he had. What does 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 say? He was rich, became poor.
Amen.
He left his glory, put up everything, to come down, to give his life.
Amen.
Even because foot was flung to him. Take the lowest thing. Went down to the lowest, where the shortest man had to look down upon him. He went down to the lowest city.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
But he's raised up to the highest of heaven. Look at the next one. Wesley. Wesley was also a reformer.
Yeah.
He just brought the second step of Luther's message.
Yeah.
Again, he came to heaven like a merchant man, seeking fine pearls. And watch again. Just like the first man found the seal and rejoiced, and then sell everything he had and buy. Now this man found one pearl, sell everything he had and buy two.
Yeah.
Notice that? What's it in the Bible? Another work of grace. Wesley, another reformer. They wasn't revealing, there's only reformers. Wesley got the mess in the blood.
Yeah.
And he begins to see how, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without holding so much to see God.
Right.
And he begins to bring that mess in the blood. Then the last one, the seventh one rather, was this last age. Watch it. Not no man, no church, nothing. It was like a net that was cast into the sea, a dragnet. And that dragnet is going to bring all kinds.
Yes,
he said, I talked to this man, he found real life. Glory to God, he spoke with tongues. Man of the truth, born Christian, love God. He said, I went on to the next man. He didn't ever saw a hypocrite out of God. Man has been two different women and everything.
Yes.
But he took me the same way too. All kinds of the same way.
Yes,
both in hallelujah, both in glory to God. See? Rain falling on the just and the unjust. Rain falling on the wheat and the tears. And look what happened. Look, which way was full? They drew the shore. It's in this age, you hear people talk about million souls.
Yes.
Back in the Bible, you read about 5,000, 6,000. Million souls. Back in the Bible, Jesus preached 7,000 gathered.
Yes.
He preached in Bombay, 500,000 gathered. 100 times what Jesus gathered. In Israel, he gathered in India. 100 times. 100,000 times. See? 500,000. Jesus had 5,000. He had 500,000. They would have children 50,000. Today, all the divine will receive more children and gather that amount. You don't think? But what kind is that? What kind is that? Remember, in the lake, you're fishing? I don't want to catch that.
Right.
It's always hard to catch all the things.
Yeah.
That's why I want to catch this rainbow trout here. So what? So shall it be at the end of this age.
Yeah.
Jesus says, so it will be at the end of the age. Wicked and righteous, but he's not going to recognize he's going to separate them.
Yeah.
The seventh age, seventh parable. The wicked, showing that the wicked will be among the righteous.
Amen.
Judas was with them right down to the street.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Share the knowledge of the mystery.
Yeah.
Foreknown of God, chosen of God, had part in the Holy Ghost ministry, name written in the book.
Yeah.
Is that right? But he had to fall to go to his place.
Amen.
When Pentecost came, he couldn't be there. So you're talking about? And then what's the last one at the end of the 70s? A man, a householder, bringing forth old things, justification, salvation, what do you call them, preach? Wednesday them? See? Bring forth all of them to look at the reformer, heart and tie together, and then new things. He bring forth old things, and then spark light never shine on.
Amen.
That was sealed up and couldn't even be made known until this day. But if people see the back part of one mind and all these different things. So what?
Amen.
Seven parables Jesus is telling here. And each one is a mystery that was to be manifested in the space of time between his first coming and his second coming. And that is the space time of the seven churches. And so these eight parables open up and show the church was not going to be a pure body of only believers. All unto, it will be a mixture of all kinds, and it will go right on to the end time, and there will be a sign. Sir, is this the sign of the end? When time shall be no longer? When I can always have angels standing there saying time shall be no more? When the end of time has started? When the apostasy takes place? Then we know we are in the separated time? How about the whole and people are called to call them out and take them to the only provided place of worship? Is that right? Like when Aaron comes up, will you destroy the righteous and the wicked? No. A time of the ceiling, a time of put them in Goshen, a time of slip in the air, shut them away, take a go to the Lord. The prophet had seen, just like Paul and them, they taught it. It was not something that happened here. What is happening here, as we took this parables here, is to show you, now in the early age, the household have brought forth the old things, brought forth the new things. We know all about future hope. We all know what Jesus has to be. We all know theophany.
Yes.
We all know the rapture people secret.
Yes.
We all know he does all three things, though he has more feet. Is that right? We all know about the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
We all know these things now. Why? Because there had to be a message come at the end of the age to show it what Jesus taught, what Paul and they taught, what God showed them in the book of Revelation, where it's in. If that message didn't come, and do nothing, nobody know the age. Nobody know what time it is. Nobody know the hour. Nobody know the identify how to get ready to go in the rapture. No organization had a plan from the scripture how to get people ready to the rapture.
Amen.
The message that prepares the people for rapture in faith is brought by seven angels.
Yes.
Those seven angels who hold those seven thunders that seals the book will issue forth the things. It will make known that great revelation at that time. It's going to be a dispensational prophet coming at the end of the age. And begin to identify and place everything. We are the end of politics. We are the end of religion. The world is falling apart. Israel is in the homeland. The church is in the world. The world is in Sodom. The last message has come forth. The last sign before the change of body has come forth. All of you have to come and be placed out in the Bible. The seven at supper time has gone forth, reviving among the fig tree and the other nations. The other trees has taken place. The seven at supper time has called the horse, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. They were in supper and here, the ministry has been given out. Time to change the robe. All them things have been placed out. There could be no coming to the Lord, and there had to be a message to go to them places in the Bible to show the time is running. And the bride is taken up in the midst of the seventh seal. And then there must be servants giving out the food in due season. And there must be other servants who are smiting their fellow men, smiting their fellow men, smiting their fellow men, smiting their fellow men, evil servants.
Yes, sir.
In the coming of the Lord. It must be that. Oh, we take a time. We shall get the scripture. But you see how what we are believing is what we are believing is the unadulterated original word of God. Praise is wonderful name. Under the musicians that come, we have a little song. I want the birds to sing, and maybe I could ask them to sing it now. as we set our face towards Jerusalem, knowing very soon it's speed to come. This blackout, I hope I can get it done finish up tomorrow night. I for me said, God give me a burn in the heart of preach. I ain't get through the first one yet. But I don't mind, because I come, I want to preach here. I want to break it up. I want you to see it.
Yeah.
I want you to grasp it. I want you to see it in the Bible. I want you to know it's not a human energy trying to move you somewhere. It's the scripture trying to tell you. Look what the word is, friends. Look at the hour. Look at the scripture. Look at that unified here. Look what the message has said. Look what he's been saying all along.
Amen.
But did you catch that little space of time in there?
Yeah.
Did you catch that feast of Pentecost? Then tomorrow, I just think I can pick it up and let me get in the chat a little bit to kind of hold it down for you. And you see how that time it suits you, it'll come right down to 1996. It'll come right down to tomorrow, will be the 11th of October, it'll come down to the 11th of October, 1996. Could you imagine if you'd be walking the world that close?
Yeah.
From way back in Daniel, from way back in Isaiah, from way back, we walking right down to this very, very old, right into the parables and the ones you're supposed to be in now too?
Yeah.
Isn't that a wonderful place to be facing me?
Yeah,
doesn't it make you feel like you're getting ready to go, friend?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I know God give you able ministers
here
among the brethren who will take these things and polish them up and open up even further and shine them up for you as you can grasp it and make more sense of it in the other services. I'm just trying to snowball a lot of it and throw it out in a way for you here that you can get an insight to see what is happening. The hour. Your faith is focused. Mix the word with faith. You don't profit too much. Come, brother. Amen. Praise is wonderful. Let's go ahead and say thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let the shout of the king be the camp. Amen. Oh, glory.
Thank you, Lord. As we set our feet towards Jerusalem, knowing that very soon the feast will come. As the day draws nearer, as the day comes, there's such a faithful to be like all Savior. Oh, Jesus, my Lord Jesus, only you can quench this thirst in my soul. Groaning for the redemption of this body. I want to see you. No matter what the world may say, no matter what the world may do, it's a fact that I can't win until I will. Oh, my Lord Jesus, for the master to see. It must be missed by the determination of our Lord. What shall we say then? Father, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Oh, Jesus, my Lord Jesus, what if you can bless this in my heart? Oh, Jesus.
Back to original seed.
not planting a new church. He's restoring the bride to deep down. We don't want to begin to mix up all those things inside that needle. Corrupted the word. Hacked it to pieces. Look what it did with it. See? 10 seed of divine. Bind the field to the treasure. Bind the pearl. His church. That is the reformer's heart. Every time we do the reformers, the atoning work, the purchase of the blood, the message of salvation. That's what they saw. That's what they preached. But when this message came, he brought all the old things out. And new things that the reformers could even see because they were reformers. Think they were sealed up. The light of a shiner. He began to bring it out. That's what a great thing it is for us. Jesus showing all the way coming to the church. There's where all kinds of people with the tears. Look how mighty the tears are flourished in the year today. Look how it's great. Look how few is going to the rapture. But in this very hour, you can see the bride being gathered together. And you can see the others being gathered together. Why are we here tonight? We've been called out. We've been separated. We've been taken out from the sit from among the weak, among the tears. Because that's right where we were in the same place, in the world. Many is Baptist, Anglican, Catholic, Pentecostal, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, you name what. But he called you out. Notice that householder, he was in his own house, in pride. In the presence of your home, bringing forth all these treasures, all of you. Go now to the world outside you.